welcome to another episode of All Over VoiceOver with Kip VH. I'm your host, Kip VH, and I'm thrilled to welcome my guest this week, Dr. Alisa Shawn, who is the executive director and founder of Actors for Autism. She's an author and speaker, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? Like where are you from originally?
Well, I grew up in Southern California. Uh-huh. And I originally had gone to school to become a respiratory therapist. So I was working at Cedar Sinai and Children's Hospital. And then once I got married and had children, I realized that I kind of wanted to take a different career path. Uh-huh. And I had a family member who had been diagnosed with autism. Uh-huh. And that kind of changed the course of really led up to what I'm doing now. You know, I started off doing social skills training uh-huh. for children and adults with autism. And what I saw was that a lot of the students were high functioning, but they weren't high functioning enough maybe to go to college.
Yeah.
But they were too high functioning for a day program.
Okay.
So along the way, I was developing programs besides social skills for kids with autism. And I started by reaching out to people in the community who maybe did basketball or other different activities. This is back in, 1993.
Oh, wow. Wow. Awesome.
And where there were just, programs for people with disabilities or autism. And then there was the regular programs.
Just to dig a little bit deeper into some of that, like social skills training, what does that mean? How do you define that kind of, what does that look like for, kids and adults and folks?
Sure. A lot of children with autism have difficulty with reciprocal communication, initiating a conversation, joining in an already existing conversation, just the social interactions that sometimes you and I just take for granted that we do, or we kind of learn along the way.
Yeah.
And so what I did was a lot of the social skills groups at that time met in an office and they played board games.
Okay.
So what I did, I created a program that was kind of a real world social skills program where we met out in the community. So we never met in an office setting.
Wow.
And we would go to different stores and restaurants and kind of learned by doing.
Yeah.
A lot of the students that I had at that time had never ordered for themselves, even like at McDonald's. Their parents always ordered for them.
Yeah.
And so we worked on a lot of those skills too. So it was a combination of social and adaptive skills training.
Okay.
Just to really make them a little bit more independent.
Yeah. That's fascinating that the importance of not working in an isolated environment and saying let's do real world application of these life skills and help you develop them. I mean, just to share my background, prior to pursuing work as in the performing arts, I worked as a job coach back in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I worked I guess the term we had for it was a sheltered workshop where we did light industrial mm-hmm. production, working with a variety of clients, many who had developmental disabilities, some autistic, some those who are higher functioning, able to do to be more integrated into sort of mainstream society and that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. that sort of approach to the work that you're talking about was great. I'm sorry to interrupt. That's helpful for me to define and get those touchstones.
That's great. I didn't know that you had that background, which is, a lot of people, and that's the thing, back in 93, it wasn't as prevalent as it is today. I remember I flew to Germany in I think the early 2000s, and I remember the incidence at that time was maybe 1 in 10,000. And I went to the bookstore, uh-huh. and I asked them if they had any books on autism, and they didn't even have any.
Wow! Wow!
So it was just a different time, and I realized that there were not as many programs that integrated children and adults with autism that you see today.
Yeah.
So the goal was really to kind of continue to develop programs that most students didn't have access to. And I had worked with a basketball coach to do an integrated basketball team.
Yeah.
I did an art program. I did all sorts of programs. And the parents were so thrilled because they couldn't find that anywhere else.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah. I imagine that had to be a really, like, just, you know, as a parent, to find a group that is allowing your child to experience more of life rather than, you know, other alternatives.
So a parent had asked about an acting class, and I'd been an actress growing up, and I thought, you're right. That would be amazing, you know? So I went looking for somebody who would be willing to do an acting class for our students. Uh-huh. And that's what led me to Joey Travolta.
Uh-huh.
I had read that he had started Entertainment Experience in Woodland Hills. And I asked if he would be willing to do a class because it had mentioned something about him having some experience with special education.
Okay.
And so we started a class there, and, you know, it was doing really well. It was an integrated class. And then we realized that there was such a need for the theater. There was something about the students getting up on stage. They were able to come out of their shell. You know, a lot of them were interested in movies already.
Yeah.
And they didn't have those opportunities in school. So we had a lot of interest. And then I decided that to start the nonprofit Actors for Autism.
Awesome.
And so I started the charity. And we also not only did acting classes, but we also started doing summer camps. So we did summer camps in animation, filmmaking, video game design, and visual effects. And I can tell you that those camps were booked in a few days. Again, this is back in the early 2000s. So we had a number of people that would drive far. They would fly in and get a hotel so their kids could go to the camp.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just wonderful because it was wonderful to see the kids really feel like they were part of something.
Yeah.
And just feel a sense of accomplishment, because at the end of the 2-week camp, we would do a film festival where the students got to see their movie. And so it was really great.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, and part of what the goal too, and what you've been doing with Actors for Autism is like both the education and then also looking at ways for job placement as well and integration into the entertainment industry, right?
Right. So what happened was, you know, we were doing these amazing camps and the students would come for 2 weeks and then we wouldn't see them for a year. So they were kind of bummed out because they really wanted to continue making films. They wanted to continue making video games. And so we realized that there was that gap again between students who were high functioning that maybe weren't able to do college, but they were too high functioning for the day program.
Yeah.
So we wanted to create programs that would fill that gap.
Gotcha.
So that's when I started writing the programs. The first one that I wrote was the film program. And then shortly after that, you know, we did the animation, the video game, and visual effects as a vocational training program.
Wow.
And we sought vendorization from the regional center, which is in California.
Okay.
So that they would fund the program for the students. And it's been incredible. I mean, we started off with maybe a few students and now we have close to 100 students a year.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. And we have a number of, you know, connections in all the industries.
Yeah.
Not just the entertainment, I mean, in terms of film and animation, but the video game industry, visual effects industry. And, you know, the program is really, I mean, we're really proud of the program because it's an intense program. It's not for everybody.
Sure.
But the programs are similar in that they're 1 year with an optional second year.
Okay.
And so the way it works is they apply to the program of their choice. And then each program has 6 workshops, which make up the first year.
Okay.
And then, so they kind of get an overview of a variety of things. So for example, in filmmaking, it's producing, directing, camera and lighting, sound design, screenwriting, and editing.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the first year, we look as a team at what their strengths are. So if editing was a strength, then they really love editing and that's something that they see themselves doing, then we have them come back for a second year and just specialize in editing. And that really gives us an opportunity to bring them up to industry standard.
Yeah.
So, and then we have a number, like I said, of connections. We have companies and we have people in the industry. Gavin Grazer, who's, in the industry, he's directed many films. Wonderful. He's one of our entertainment liaisons. So he works to help us get jobs and internships for our students. Fantastic. And it's been really exciting to see them in the workforce.
Man, a lot. That's so fantastic. I mean, one of the initial reasons I reached out to you is I've encountered over the course of teaching for as long as I've taught as well. And I've taught for maybe 25 years teaching improv and voiceover and that kind of stuff, and encountering students who are varying degrees of on the spectrum mixed in with people who are not. And part of the challenge for me of wanting to be able to serve everyone in my class and figuring out exactly, you know, what steps to give them, recognizing that there's different challenges that they're going to need to face, and finding the appropriate way of managing that and helping them find resources that lead them in that direction. What's your process in not necessarily assessment, but finding and nurturing, like as you talked about, like year one being a fairly rigorous program and that kind of stuff. What's your process for guiding someone through the process?
Well, you know what? For us, I have an amazing team. Hmm. All of our instructors, you know, we require they have a minimum of a bachelor's degree. They're experts in their field. They're working artists. And then we have program supervisors who their expertise is autism. So it's a real collaborative effort. So when we get a student, we look at a number of things. Of course, the technical skills, they have to have that. They have to be able to follow the curriculum, have a laptop, have all the technology that they need to access it. But we also look at a variety of things that may impede them from obtaining work. And we do that from day one.
Yeah.
You know, we require a lot of paperwork from different agencies because we want to get the whole picture.
Yeah.
And once they've been in our program for about 30 days is when we have a meeting with the parent and the student. And we let them know some things that we've observed. And some of them are always strengths. Hmm. Here's what we've seen that we just love.
Yeah.
You know, you're always on time. You reach out to fellow students. You participate in discussions. But then here's some other things that we call areas of growth, that we'd like to see some growth in these areas. And it can be, you know, maybe it's a hygiene issue. Maybe it's just a behavior that we think, you know, is something that we want to work on. They're all areas that we want to help them work on.
Yeah.
Because we really want to see them successful. And so we do that along the way through the program. So what we try to do is if there's an issue with a student is to reach out to the student first, because these are adults.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things that we always tell them is if you're going to be late or you're going to be absent, we don't want your mom calling, we want you calling, because when you have a job, that's what the expectation is going to be.
Yes.
You know, and then if things progress, then we have a team meeting, and that may include the family or any other agency personnel that might be involved to really see what we can do to overcome. And, you know, there has been very few students that we've had to ask to leave.
Wow.
Maybe because it just was too much. And, you know, it's a lot. We were asking students not only to travel. Sometimes they travel 1 hour to 2 hours on a bus.
Uh-huh.
And then once they're there for a full, you know, 5 hour day.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they travel another 2 hours just to get home. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And then they have homework. So now, of course, because of COVID, we're all online.
Yeah.
You know, which has made it easier for some of them in terms of they don't have the transportation situation.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. How, I mean, from a performance standpoint, and in particular for students who are interested in those kind of pursuits, like either as an actor or as talent, and your experience with theater background as well. Like, how do you focus predominantly on the technical sides of things, or you analyze kind of where their skill set allows them to pursue which avenues within the industry at large, like specifically like when it comes to voiceover per se, like what's your process through that?
Well, I have to say that most all of the students that come to us are interested in acting or voiceover.
Yeah.
That's usually their first love.
Yeah.
That's not the curriculum that we have.
Gotcha.
That's approved. We have run voiceover workshops. Those have been private pay, though. The state has not paid for that.
Okay.
And again, the voiceover classes fill up extremely fast.
Yeah.
Typically, we get students in our film programs who love to act. Yeah. And it's because when they do make films, they're able to act in each other's films. But they also get a sense of being behind the camera and how to direct an actor. And I think as an actor, that helps you become a better actor.
Absolutely.
Is knowing what it's like on the other side. So we try to foster that, but also let them know that that's something else that's kind of separate. So for example, a lot of the students, when they leave our program, we always make sure they have a resume. It's a technical resume, but they like to put that they're an actor. And I keep telling them that's a different resume. That's you have to have more than one.
Right.
But we've also had a number of individuals who have reached out to us about having our students act. I will say that we do have a collaboration with Social Skills Theater.
Oh, great.
And that program has a lot of our students participate in it. And they work specifically on acting. And a lot of those students there have gotten numerous parts in television shows and films. And so we try to have that as kind of a sister partnership so that they can still really fulfill that need to work on their acting skills and get work in the industry.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms, because autism is a disease that hasn't touched my immediate family very closely. So there's a level of ignorance with the disease that is just a blind spot for me. There are aspects of different sort of illnesses that have come into my life that I've experienced and addressed. So it's, you know, just to be able to have a conversation with someone who has studied it and knows the nature of it. Like, what are some of the challenges? What are some of the strengths that come from this that you see your students working through in the process of finding themselves from day one coming in to successful integration into the industry?
Well, that's such a great question, because that's really, I think, what we all are so touched by, you know, me and my staff, is that we've had students who come to our program who've been told as a child, maybe, that they would never be able to read. They would probably have to work in an assembly line or never work. And our students have been able to overcome things that were just shocking to people. I mean, and it's so touching, because in school, I also used to work as an advocate for families. And you'd go to so many of those IEP meetings and hear professionals say all the things that they can't do.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not up to their reading level. They're three grades behind. All you would end up hearing as a parent is all these things that they can't do. But very rarely do you sometimes hear all the amazing things that they can do. And, you know, we've identified these strengths, and here's if these strengths were fostered, they could potentially lead to a job in this area. You know, some students are told, you know, gee, that's great, you want to work in animation. Well, we don't have that kind of help for you, but here you can, you know, here's these jobs. You can collect carts at Target. You can do this. And not that there's anything wrong with those jobs.
Right.
But it would be like somebody coming to you and I and saying, gee, that's great what you want to do, but I need you to wipe down tables at Starbucks. And you're saying, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So our students have really fought to dispel a lot of those myths. And that's why when they graduate and somebody wants them to get a job at McDonald's or do something that they don't want to do, we really try to fight for them and say, listen, this student is an amazing animator. You know, have you seen his work? Have you seen his reel? You know, while he's looking for a job, he can go on Fiverr or Upwork and try to at least make some money and build up a repertoire of clients or build up his resume. I mean, there's, as you know, there's so many things in the industry and it's ever evolving and changing.
That's right.
I know that a lot of authors now ask for animated book trailers and you know, so there's just a whole array. And what we try to do is not only look at customized employment, which is having them get a job, but we also look at micro enterprise. You know, is there something for the student that they can do that they can start making money right away?
Of course.
So we have a lot of students, obviously, who've gotten jobs, tons of students at Universal, at a variety of different production companies. And but, you know, the, even though those students have gotten jobs, they still have project-based work on the side that they take. Because maybe they were in an internship before, or they were, you know, doing some project-based work for a client before they got the job.
Yeah.
And those people are still coming back to them.
That's wonderful. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, so, to foster not only like job placement, but the skills in place to be able to maintain a freelance life, which requires so much, you know, like project-based stuff and then pursuit of additional work and building on that. And then the confidence that comes with that on top of that, to be able to develop those skills in a supportive environment. That's not just like, here's a workbook, here's how you do it, good luck. Or, you know, well, you know, maybe you should reconsider, change your goals, you know, and it's certainly realistic for the goals of each particular student, but not thinking about it from a standpoint, like you're saying, of what you can't do and celebrating what you can and encouraging you to continue to reach and strive.
Yeah. And, you know, a big part of that is the parents and the environment that they're in. And we always try to encourage parents to, and I get it, because parents have been, a lot of parents are very protected and they've had to do a lot for them and they've had to advocate for them.
Of course.
And what we try to do is say, look, we have to allow them to at least try to do certain things on their own, whether it's communicate with the instructor and, you know, ask for help when needed and, you know, baby steps, things like that. Like I mentioned, calling in themselves when they're going to be late or sending an email, because, you know, I always say once they graduate, we want them to be job ready. And so we can't have the parent calling the boss saying, my son didn't understand what you needed him to do. Can you tell me?
Right.
You know, companies typically don't like that. So we really, really try. And it's okay if they fail or they mess up when they're with us. That's the whole point, is that they learn the mistakes and they get it right and they progress and they become more independent. And I also think it just builds more confidence because, you know, their work speaks for themselves, you know, itself. You know, here's my work, here's what I can do. But being able to be in an environment, a work environment, and being part of a team and being respected as an equal team member, you know, that's so valuable to them. Because a lot of them have never had that before.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, that's, I mean, it's an amazing service. What does the, I mean, I imagine it's different for every student, but the length of time, like, does someone come in and over the course of 2 years, or is it a longer period of time that the process takes for them, or is it independent for everybody, has it kind of a different place in terms of where they're going?
Yeah, so sometimes we get students who maybe want filmmaking, or let's say that somebody comes and they're interested in filmmaking and they want to specialize in editing. So maybe they've been with us for 2 years. Sometimes they realize that, gee, you know, visual effects is something that I should really have under my belt.
Huh.
Because it's going to really open up more opportunities and make me more employable, that I have that set of skills. I might get a job over somebody else who does it.
Yes.
And so some of them may take another program. We have a number of students who've done that. There's a lot of crossover. You know, animation and video game design, there's a lot of crossover.
Boy.
So, you know, students who have the capacity to learn another software and another set of skills and get that under their belt, they continue because they really want to make sure that they're ready before they enter the job market. And, you know, what we try to do is based, you know, we look at a number of things, what skills the student has, also geographically, is this somebody who drives or is this somebody who's going to need to take public transportation? And we look at all those things when we meet as a team and we try to kind of assist the student in determining what they want to do next. Do they want to try to get a job? And if so, what radius are we looking at? Is there something that can be done remotely? Or are they looking to have their own micro business? And everybody has their different comfort level in terms of what they want to do. But, you know, we follow what's called a person-centered plan. So the student is the driving force of their plan. And we just tried to make sure that we educate them with all of the available options so that they can make the right decision that's best for them. In addition to the customized employment, I mentioned the microenterprise. So with that, we also assist them in developing what's called a pass through SSI.
Okay.
So they can potentially get startup funds for their business. So if there was anything that they needed to purchase and maybe didn't have the funds for that.
Equipment and those kind of things, or software needs, that kind of stuff.
Yes. And, you know, then there's what's called the paid internship program, where they get employment and they get paid. It's a special program if they're part of the regional center system. So, you know, we have a number of options. And like I said, it really just depends on the student. Where do you see yourself in the workforce? And what do you want for your life? Yeah. And that's so important because, you know, as I mentioned, we wouldn't want someone telling us what we can and cannot do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it should be the same for everybody. You know, they're the driving force, and we really value the student's opinion and what they want to do.
That's great. I mean, I don't know. It's moving to me because, you know, to be given the opportunity in this day and age with the access that we have to be able to best way for me to go through is like, I mean, I teach improv, and one of the things that is the core principle of improvisation is yes and. We, you know, you're a theater person, you've probably experienced that. It's agree plus. And, you know, I always felt when dealing with populations who are struggling with a variety of different challenges that for some reason that rule doesn't apply to them, and it's not fair. And to be able to say yes to your dreams and pivoting, working through your unique situation, whether it's dealing with autism, whether it's dealing with financial challenges, whether it's dealing with, you know, where you grew up, all those different features, to be able to find support to swim through those waters is, I don't know, it's very cool. And I'm so grateful for what you guys are doing. I notice you've written some books as well about these things and have got templates and that kind of thing. Can you talk to us a little bit about what resources that are available prior to signing up for your program and that kind of thing, or adjunct to it? Like what additional resources are available to people?
Sure. So we've gotten lots of emails and calls from around the world, people asking us about our program. We have a number of students who actually moved from other states to attend our program.
Wow.
So while COVID, you know, made us all go online, it's kind of also given us an opportunity to open it up to students all over the world.
Yeah.
Who, for whatever reason before, wouldn't have been able to have this access. So we have a number of options. You know, the program itself is called AFA Hub. And okay. Students who are interested in any of the programs, they can go to afahub.com and apply directly through the website.
Awesome.
But we also have, while that program has an instructor Monday through Friday, 10 to 3, a live instructor, we've developed an alternative. And the reason for that is many people don't live in California and they don't have access to the funding. So we've decided to develop another program where they would still have access to the curriculum and they would just meet with an instructor a couple times a week.
Okay.
To check in and, you know, like a mentor session.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that program is going to be offered in September and that's going to be through Autism University.
Autism University.
So we're really excited.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We're really excited about that. And then I always have people, you know, students and other people asking me, where can my son or daughter get started? What equipment do they need? Huh. So I did write several books and I have them in all the different areas, film, animation, video game design, visual effects. I even have a voiceover book and it really says everything that everybody always asks me. So it's what equipment do I need?
Yeah.
How do I get started? What do I do first? So there's a lot of information. And if you get the ebook, there's digital links directly to the items. So you can see exactly what they are and what they do. Make sure they're compatible. And so those are available on Amazon. I also have a number of resources on my website.
Okay.
It's DrElisaShawn.com. Families can go on there and I have a free download that they can download directly with information on how to jumpstart their career. So right now I'm in the place where I'm really trying to get the information out because so many people are just looking for this type of information.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't tell you the amount of times that it's happened at, you know, just different events and classrooms or people have reached out and on social media and because of being in the space of being a voice actor that draw and, you know, and engagement. And I really want to, I don't want to offend folks and but I also want to be helpful and support and, you know, and I don't want to make assumptions about people's challenges based on, you know, a first impression or a blink reaction or something. And, trying to find the right way to help them get the resources that they need. I guess it's, I feel, how do you address that with someone who might need those services, but you don't want to make any assumptions about them? Does that make sense? I'm totally stammering through this question, but like how do I bring someone to you if they haven't said, I'm an autistic person and I want to get involved in this kind of work, what resources are available to me? Do you know what I mean? Like,
Sure. Well, I do have to say that our program, even though it's, you know, we have a lot of adults with autism, our program is for anyone.
Really?
There's nothing different about the curriculum that we wouldn't teach to anybody. The only difference I would say is that we make accommodations and modifications to the curriculum.
Gotcha.
So if a student needs extra time or if there's a set of information, maybe instead of breaking it down into 3 steps, we break it down into 6 steps.
Uh-huh.
You know, we step back a little bit and try to give it in smaller bites.
Yeah.
but anybody can take our program. And we have a number of people who don't have autism that are also in our program. So you don't have to have autism. It really is for anybody.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's really, really great to know. And it's such a phenomenal service that you're offering. What other directions are you exploring moving forward? Given where we are in this COVID, and you've touched on it, the online place, but what part of the industry have you had the most success penetrating, and your students, I know they're getting into all the different places, but what seems to be a track that a lot of folks are jumping on and really enjoying and thriving in, what do you see as like some things even further down the road? Where do you hope that this will continue to go?
Sure. So what we typically look at is what's happening in the world. Hmm. Where are the greatest need for jobs? In terms of success, we've had a number of students, animation, film, and visual effects are very much kind of in that film type industry.
Yeah.
And so we've had a lot of success because a lot of our students have become editors. Awesome. And, animation and film can be done remotely also. So for a lot of our students who have jobs, that really hasn't impacted them. COVID has not impacted them in that sense. They're still able to do the same work at home.
Yeah.
The video game industry is still booming even more now because people are home playing video games.
Yeah, right.
So we haven't seen a deterioration in jobs for those students as well. And, moving forward, we've looked at, like I say, where is the industry moving and what other areas can we provide training that will meet the growing demands of the future. Hmm. And I know AI is playing a huge part in the future.
Yes.
So we're looking at augmented reality. We're looking at a number of different programs that we can create that would give students an opportunity to work in this new world that we're entering.
Yeah.
The other thing we're looking at too is the safety aspect of it, because a lot of families are concerned. People are being quarantined. And so, we're taking that into consideration too. But our job specifically is to create programs that are going to be much needed into the future. And so those are the types of jobs that we'll create. And we're working on developing some of those right now.
Terrific.
I know one of them is in more of a coding aspect, and the front and back end developer and things like that.
Great.
So that's really our focus. And, more than not, it's all tech-based programs.
That's great. I've been doing a fair amount of work with a company called the Mocap Vaults, and focusing on, in particular on the tech side of motion capture, with the development of stages and putting markers on and all those kind of things, and how that ties in hand with animation and model building and all that kind of stuff. If a company is interested in exploring, partnerships with you, what's the process for that? If a mocap stage is like, it would be great to partner with Actors for Autism. What would be the process in terms of not just, reaching out, but then in terms of sort of curriculum building or parameter building, or how would someone go about doing that?
So typically when we have a company that's looking to partner with us, we usually get a contact through our website. Uh-huh. One of our team members will contact them and find out exactly what they're looking for. Sometimes they want to provide work to some of our students, or they're offering some sort of internship opportunities. It really just varies. And our team, goes to great lengths to find out exactly what they're looking for, what the skill sets are that they need.
Yeah.
In an individual, and the length of time of the project, what type of software And then we look at all of our students, so some alumni as well as our current students, to see if we have, you know, which students would be the best fit,
yeah,
given what the parameters are. And then that's when we have the student, you know, kind of join the team for the project.
Yeah.
And we always have a, I guess, a team member be a part of that group.
Oh, great.
Just to ensure that there's a smooth transition. So usually, you know, they're a part of the conversations in the beginning. And then depending on the level of comfort for the student, they can kind of fade away once they see that they're comfortable, you know, directly communicating with them. And,
yeah,
you know, I have one student who did an amazing job. He just did all of the design for a children's book.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so they had a party and he was just over the moon. So his book now is on Amazon and it's at Barnes & Noble.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, but yeah, I mean, we love when companies contact us because that's exactly what we're trying to do is dispel and break those barriers between what people typically perceive people with autism to be like. And I know, I've heard a number of times some people will say, well, I always thought of Rain Man or something I saw in a movie. And there's so many levels and degrees of functioning. And it's really, we're still trying to dispel the myth because believe it or not, even though the numbers are up and it's prevalent and there's so many different individuals with autism, there are still some people who have no idea. People that I've met that said, I had no idea that they're able to do this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I so appreciate you coming on and talking with me and helping me personally transform my idea of what that means and what folks are capable of. And I just to be able to provide, you know, resources to folks who are looking for a way in. And it's amazing. How can people find you and find your site and learn more about what you guys are doing?
So if they're looking to apply to the program, they can go to actorsforautism.org. Uh-huh. They can also look at the syllabus at afahub.com. And if they're looking for my personal resources, they can go to drelisashawn.com.
And with your personal resources, do you function outside? What all services do you offer beyond what your relationship with Actors for Autism provides?
Sure. So I have a number of organizations that I work with that are looking to develop similar type programs.
Awesome.
And I work with them to develop their own program. So I do a lot of consulting and I do consulting with families as well.
Terrific. Oh, that's fantastic. Wonderful. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your week to join me and for this conversation. And I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, Dr. Sean.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And thank you for listening, everyone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace. This has been All Over VoiceOver with Kiff VH. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please go to iTunes and give us a positive rating. It truly helps. Follow me on Twitter at Kiff VH or on Instagram at Kiff VH or on Vero at Kiff VH. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon. Claim victory and depart the field.
Werewolf?
There.